hear. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious and kind Father, we humbly and reverently approach Thee this evening, knowing that, Lord, Your presence is among us. You come down with a shout, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we know that we who have died to self and have been born anew by the Spirit of Your Son, as Paul the Apostle told us, the Father, we only ask one thing, and that is to help us, O God, to reflect the very life that was reflected in Your Son. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening I'd like to examine a thought that Brother Branham left with us in his sermon, Christ Revealed in His Own Word, where he said, in the Laodicean age, the people were what? Naked. Are they? Blind. What good does light do to a blind man? If the blind leaves the blind, don't they all fall in the ditch? Naked, blind, and don't even know it. Even their mental faculties are gone. Their spiritual faculties of mental or spiritual understanding. See, highly heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, and despisers of those that are good, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, the power of revelation. They don't even believe in it. They don't believe in such things as prophets, and they don't believe in it. Now, I would like to examine this thought on the power of revelation tonight, because Brother Brown says that they don't even believe it in it anymore. So what is this power, and what can it do for us? First of all, we know from our studies on faith that faith is a revelation, something that has been revealed to you. So we're in the series on faith, but we know that faith and revelation are synonymous. It's the same thing. From the rapture, Brother Brown said, but to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her that the revelation, the true bride of Christ, will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Now, it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. And also from the message, works is faith expressed. He said, now faith is a revelation from God. Now, faith is a revelation. That's where I want to stay there, right, just for a moment. It's a revelation. He has revealed it to you by His grace. It's nothing that you did. You didn't work yourself up into faith. You never had faith. It's given to you by the grace of God. And God reveals it to you. Therefore, faith is a revelation. And the whole church of God is built upon the revelation. Again, from invisible union of the bride, Brother Brown said, now what is revelation? Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Faith is a revelation, because faith has been revealed to you. Able by faith, offered by revelation, faith, offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. Cain thought that they had eaten apples. They still got that idea, but it wasn't. It was adultery, serpent seed. And from Anointed Ones at the End Time, you said it wasn't a revelation. Well, what is faith? Faith is something that's revealed to you that is not yet, but you believe it will be. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. So by revelation, and the church today don't even believe in spiritual revelation. They believe in a dogmatic teaching of some system. By revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, excuse me, which God testified that he was righteous. Amen. I hope that you see that. See that where we're living in. See the hour. Now, we have just read four different quotes from Brother Branham, God's prophet, showing that faith is a revelation. And in several of them, Brother Branham uses Hebrews 11, the chapter on faith, to show that revelation or faith is revelation. Therefore, in our text tonight, he also quotes the Apostle Paul concerning the condition of the Laodicean church age, and he says they're having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, the power of revelation. They don't even believe in it. So we want to know what this power of revelation is that Brother Branham is talking about. I notice in the quotes where Brother Branham says faith is a revelation, he goes on to Hebrews chapter 11. So therefore tonight we will also go to Hebrews chapter 11 in order to better understand this power of revelation. Now Hebrews 11 is commonly known as the faith chapter of the Bible. And in our examination of this chapter, we will look very closely at each verse. And I want you to pay close attention to the different characteristics of faith, or the power of faith, which actually is the power of revelation. And we will list them so that we might see that the power of revelation is not just limited to giving a spiritual insight, but it is the same power that created the world. And we know by Revelation 3 that the people were told to apply eye salve in order to restore their sight. In fact, let's just read that. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee therefore to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." Now notice we are to anoint our eyes with this eye salve, which is an anointing oil, and this anointing oil in the process of giving sight will also sanctify and make holy the believer. For our righteousness is but filthy rags, but we become the very righteousness of God through the blood of the everlasting covenant and by the power of revelation. In Hebrews chapter 11, now let's just read verse 1. All right. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen." Let's just read it this way. Now revelation is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So notice then that revelation is an actual substance and an actual evidence. And notice that it will produce a good report, as we see in Hebrews 11:2. "For by it the elders obtained a good report." Verse 3. "Through faith, or revelation, we understand that the world were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do not appear or do appear." Notice then that we begin with looking at what God did using faith, his own faith, and the power of that faith in creating the world. So faith or revelation has power to create worlds. Hebrews 11:4. "By faith Abel offered unto God, by revelation Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Notice that revelation causes us to be found righteous, which means rightly wise, having a correct understanding. Verse 5. "By faith Enoch," by revelation, "Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." Notice that revelation was that Enoch walked with God, and in walking with God, he walked in the light as God is in the light, and he had fellowship with God, and just kept walking up and was raptured. So the power of revelation is translation power and rapturing power. Like Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. All right, Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Read it this way. "But without revelation, it is impossible to please God." Notice that without revelation, it's impossible to please God. So revelation has the power to please God. Verse 7. "By faith, Noah," or by revelation, "Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by revelation." Notice again that revelation has the power to warn us of things to come. And while the world is losing everything, the power of revelation makes us heirs of righteousness in the process. Verse 8. "And by revelation, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. It calls us and it directs us to our inheritance. Verse 9. By revelation he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. Notice it keeps us and it preserves us, revelation does. It keeps alive the hope that is given by the word of God. Verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It allows you to see the works of God. Verse 11. Through faith also, or through revelation also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. It gives us strength and an ability to receive new life and new birth. Verse 12. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. In other words, it brings forth a multiplication of the blessings of peace and of grace. In verse 3. These all died in Revelation, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, see, that's what Revelation did, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. It keeps us going, it persuades us, it brings forth confession from our lips. Verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. In other words, then, Revelation kept them focused. All right? Verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Notice it causes us no shame. God identifies and claims those who have it. Verse 17. And by revelation, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and he had received the promise, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Notice that revelation carries you through the trials and through the testings. Because if you believe that you were to have the child in the first place, and that you would have many, through that child you'd have many offspring, as many as of the stars in the sky, then it didn't matter to Abraham if he had to go through with the trial or not. Verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Notice it brings a purpose and it brings a focus to our trials and our tests. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him as a figure. It doesn't look at the test, it only looks at the promise. Verse 20, by revelation, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. It allows us to see things to come and accept them as already coming to pass. Verse 21. By revelation, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed both sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By revelation, notice, it allows us to bless and to worship the right God. Verse 22. By revelation, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his own bones. Notice that revelation directs us for our future. And why did he want his bones sent back to the promised land? He knew that's where the resurrection would take place. Verse 23, by revelation Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, it wasn't Moses' revelation, it was the parents' revelation. All right. Notice again how they just knew and they foresaw the things coming. Notice direction and insight, again, by revelation. And by revelation Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Revelation brings forth our true identity and helps us to manifest in our true identity. And we've seen this in Colossians 3 and 4. It tells us, when he shall appear, we shall appear with him in the same glory. Or doxa. Hebrews 11:25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Notice again, we see here how it gives us power to look past our tests. Hebrews 11:26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had great recompense, or he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, it brings us respect for God's plan. Verse 27. By revelation he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing Him who is invisible. It brings us to the place of having no fear, just like Daniel and Shadrach and Abednego. Verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. It gives us power to keep the commandments of God. Verse 29, by revelation they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. It conquers the laws of physics and nature, and when someone tries with an intellectual understanding to follow the revelation God has given you, they'll do. Egypt didn't have the revelation. The children of God had the revelation. The children of God passed through. The children of God, if Egypt saw what was happening, they tried to do the same thing. It didn't work for them. All right? By 29, by revelation, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Revelation has the power to conquer all of our enemies and all of our troubles and has power over all creation. Verse 31, by revelation, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. In other words, revelation will bring peace where there is no peace that can be seen. Verse 32, and what shall I say the more? For the time would fail me to say of Gideon, now think about who Gideon was, and Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Revelation gives us the confidence and the power to do all things through Christ who giveth us the victory. They were conquerors, they subdued kingdoms, as it says in verse 33, who through faith or revelation subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. Notice that revelation subdued kingdoms, and revelation worked in us righteousness, and revelation stopped even the mouth of lions, had power over nature. Verse 34, revelation quenched the violence of fire, power over nature again, and through revelation escaped the edge of the sword, power over man. And through revelation, their weakness was made into strength. Out of the weakness were made strong. And through revelation, the children of God waxed valiant in flight. And through revelation, they turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. In other words, revelation will raise the dead, endures hardships, and keeps you focused. Verse 36, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. It kept them focused. Verse 37, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, but energy to keep moving forward regardless of the present result. That's what revelation gave them. It's a stimulation of revelation. All right, verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Notice they wandered, but through revelation they were being led all the way, for sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through revelation, received not the promise. Notice that revelation provides a good report in verse 40. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us, listen to this, they without us should not be made perfect. So if the power of revelation could do all of that, and God says that He has provided something better for us, that ought to get you excited, brothers and sisters, because what God has in store for us. We've got a third pole. We've got something that will speak life. We also find that the message, which is the shout, is also the revelation of Jesus Christ, and has come forth as a work of faith with power. We see in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. We have the picture right there. In verse 10 to 12, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints, in other words, that's when the doxa is magnified in us, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. And that's good, because if you believe the testimony of Paul, you're not cursed. If you change it any, you're cursed, all right, in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith, the work of revelation with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified or endoxazo in you according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice we're told that this work of faith is with power. And in Luke 21, 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Notice we're told that when he comes in a cloud, it will be with great power and glory. Therefore, it must be the power of revelation because he came down with a shout. For it is the greatest power that is given to the believer, and the glory is the dope that he comes with, which is his opinions, values, and judgment. And that all has to do with the revelation he has come with. Now, you might ask, what kind of power does faith have? A revelation. Well, we know that through faith or revelation, we receive spiritual sight, right? Therefore, through revelation, we are justified, and through revelation, we are sanctified, and through revelation, we are given new birth. Therefore, revelation has within it the power of life itself, and not just life, but eternal life. But beyond that, we know that through the exercise of revelation, we have seen many people healed from whatever ailments that they've had, whether it was a tumor or cancer or leukemia or misaligned body joints or a broken back or broken bones or paralysis or hearing loss or gangrene, etc. And beyond that, this, we've been made partakers and eyewitnesses to what the effectual prayer of a righteous man can do. We see in James 15, chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for the other that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth, by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. We've seen the power of revelation in action ourselves, as we've seen the weather conditions change, which not only had an effect upon our lives, but millions of others who knew nothing about that revelation, but they received the blessings as well. We've seen nature turned upside down, the laws of physics made of no effect. Therefore, we find the power of revelation has the power to heal, the power to save, the power to sustain, the power to raise from the dead, the power to make alive, the power to give new birth, the power to discern, the power over the elements, and power over nature, as well as the power to create squirrels, Brother Branham. And yet, Brother Branham said they don't even believe in the power of revelation. What an indictment when the very God of heaven has descended with a shout and has performed miracle after miracle, and yet they still wander in their own unbelief. No wonder they're lost. They couldn't find their way if they were given clear and implicit instruction. In fact, Brother Branham said, God doesn't give them clear and implicit instruction. All right? He said, even if they got it, they wouldn't understand it. Why? Because they have a mental deficiency and they are devil-possessed, but that is a condition of Laodicea. From the image of the beast, Brother Brown said, the church was built upon the divine revelation of God. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed it to you. And upon this rock, this spiritual revelation of the Word, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. When the church of God moves on in the power of the inspiration, shall move right on and on and on and on, and no denomination will stop it. Nothing in the world will stop it. But upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Spiritual revealed truth. Yeah. Again, from I know my Redeemer liveth, he said, God's purpose can never be defeated. There is nothing can defeat it. So how happy ought we to be today, resting upon that beautiful revelation of the Word of the living God, that there is neither things present nor things to come. There's no sickness, no sorrow, no death, no perils, nor nothing can separate us from the purpose of the living God. What God has imagined in His mind is what God has purposed in His heart to bring to pass. There is no demon, there is no power, there is nothing can ever separate God's great immortal internal plan. It must be as God has said. And from discernment of the Spirit, he said, all right, it's all right, but flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. It's not an intellectual conception of how you can make your speech or how you must bow your head or what great things that you must do here on the earth. It isn't what it is. It isn't build a great thing or to do a great thing. What it is a revelation of the Word of God. He was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made manifest and dwelt among us. Again from the Absolute, Brother Branham said, now watch the words now. Blessed are thou, Simon, son of Jonas. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You never learned it by some priest. You never learned it by some seminary. But my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed it to you. And upon this rock, the spiritual revelation of the word, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Again, from God's keeps his own word, Brother Brown says, way down in Egypt, God said, I have given you the land and all that's in it. Now, he never just said, I'm going to pick you up, take you there, and set you down. They had to fight for every inch of ground that they had. God, when commanding Joshua there, he said, be of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. No matter what it is, how hard it is, how great the obstacle is, that doesn't matter. In other words, when Joshua and Caleb had gone with the other 8 spies and they saw these giants, sons of Anak, anywhere from 9 feet to maybe 16 feet tall. These were men that couldn't even fit through the door of this church. Huge men. And they just looked at them. They said, well, God made us a promise, that's all. But the other 8 said, hey, we can't do it, we can't do it. Because they had to focus on themselves. All right? No matter what it is, how hard it is, how great the obstacle, that doesn't matter. If it's down through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Oh, how Joshua could call Israel together and say, stand here and watch the glory of God. God is with his word. God made the promise. God said to Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot set, that's yours. That's gift to you. Amen. If it's for salvation, if it's for divine healing, if it's for more blessings, if it's for peace, if it's for anything, it's God's promise. Make footprints. Amen. Every place that the sole of your foot sets, that have I given to you for possession. God promised it. God keeps his word. God's word is everlasting truth. I believe it. You believe it, brothers? It's time for us to make footprints. We can't stay right here in the same camp. The fires are moving on. Let's move on from glory to glory, from Bible experience to Bible experience. Let's unfold and open up our hearts, raise up our hands to God, and keep saying, stay in the Bible. Don't get outside of that. Stay right there. Follow. We've got the prophet of God. We've got the word of God. We've got the angel of God. He's leading this church just exactly like he led them in them days. That's exactly right. The word of God is before us. The prophet of God is the Holy Spirit. The angel of God is leading the church. We're moving in the pillar of fire in the glory of God, setting together in heavenly places in Christ. Now we are sons and daughters of God, and the great revelation of the word of the Holy Spirit sinks it into the hearts and bringing forth the trees of salvation, righteous living, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, patience. Sure it is. It just only won't happen to a brown tabernacle or to another tabernacle. It happens to individuals. If the whole brown tabernacle gets together in that one accord, the whole thing will be moving in one big unit for God. But if there's only one in that brand of tabernacle moving like that, God will move with that one. And only one way to do it, that's fall in line with it and march right on. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God keeps his word. Why those fellows said, well, we can't do it. We can't have a revival over there. Everything's against us. Oh my. The Amorites are there, and oh, the Hittites and those are all walled up, and we look like grasshoppers. Now listen, you don't look like a grasshopper to a man that's 7 foot or even 9 foot. You might look like a grasshopper to a man that's 37 feet. And it's interesting. They found skeletons of men 37 feet. But little old Joshua, about 40 years old, beating himself in the chest, and Caleb said, you know what? We are more than able to do it. Oh, brother, a little bitty hook-nosed Jew standing there bouncing up and down saying, we're more than able. We're more than able. We're not only able, but we're more than able. Why? Because God said so, and that settles it. That's where faith stands. That's where revelation stands. Either God said it or didn't. The other day, from Paul Warren, Locust and Caterpillar, he says, the other day I was talking and we were thinking of Scripture, and I said, why can't people see that? I said, well, there it is. And I happen to think, I don't care how clear it is, how much the Scripture teaches it, you'll never be able to see it until God himself shows it to you. Right. I don't care how clear it is, and the whole Bible is built, and the whole church of the living God is built upon a spiritual revelation of the Word. Why did Abel offer a more excellent sacrifice than Cain? Why didn't Abel follow Cain? He had the most beautiful church, but it was revealed to him. When Jesus came from Mount Transfiguration and they said, who does man say that I, the Son of Man, am? One said, well, you're Elijah. And the other said, you're a prophet and so forth. And he said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon, the son of Jonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You never learned it in some books or by some seminary or some station of man-made scheme. But my Father in heaven has revealed that to you. And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. There you are, spiritual revelation of the Word of God. And from identification, Brother Branham said, now looky here. What is it? Is the spiritual revelation of the Word of God that everything else is wrong but that Word, and you believe it. He was the Word, and He is the Word, and He'll always be the Word. And when God can open that channel, then He can flow freely through that sanctified body. Again, from harvest time, Brother Branham said, by revelation of the Word, God's Word, before it was ever written, Abel by faith offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which testified that he was righteous. The Word reflecting itself through him by his offering. In other words, as I preached a sermon, I'd say probably half a year ago, that you become your revelation. All right. Abel offered a bleeding dying lamb. That's what he became, a bleeding dying lamb. From the Message community, he says, we see that the astronomers are predicting sometime in this early part of the first part of the month, beginning on the 2nd or 5th or somewhere along this month, the Indian astronomers predict the world to blow to pieces. And the American newspapers make fun of it. I do not believe the world's going to blow to pieces, but I do say that it's wrong to make fun of it. Because something's fixing to happen one of these days, something similar to that, when the five planets, Mars, Jupiter, Venus, and so forth, comes into their... They never have did it. Oh, they claim maybe 25,000 years ago, but who was back there to know? I predict that this has a spiritual application. Now remember, this is just a year before the seals. I believe it's the coming in of the issue of God, that the great revelation of the Word will be opened during this time. And it did. Seven seals. Remember, they claim it was three stars came into the orbit when Jesus was born. And this is five. Five is grace, the number of grace. Three is the number of perfection. Five is the number of grace. J-E-S-U-S, G-R-A-C-E, F-E-I-T-H, so forth. Number of grace. God ever sends His power to the church, it'll be by His grace. It won't be by the obedience of the people. And Isaiah said in the 40th chapter, how to cry to Jerusalem, that her warfare was over. Yes, she was guilty of idolatry, but it was God's grace that was sending it. God sends anything to us. It'll be His grace and not our merits. So, it may mean something. I predict that there will be a change. I don't know what it'll be, but I believe it's fixing to happen. We're right on the eve of it now. And from the fourth seal, he said, now the power of revelation brings stimulation to the believer. For the power of wine, natural wine, is to stimulate. See, it's to bring a person that's all slumped down to a stimulation. See? Well then, now there's a power of the revelation of the Word gives stimulation of joy to the believer. Stimulation of satisfaction. The stimulation that it's vindicated, it's proved. It calls in the Scripture, as we want to refer to, as the new wine. We always refer to it like that, as, well, these are drunk on new wine. See, all right? Or spiritual wine. I think the best interpretation would be spiritual wine. And from his faith, unfailing words of promise, Brother Brown said, each age has had its atonement of word to be fulfilled, or allotment of word to be fulfilled. God always sends a prophet. The word comes to the prophet, the written word, a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. Did you always notice? The prophet, being that he knew that he was a prophet, is because that the word of God discerns the thoughts that's in the heart, foretells things, foreteller, and teller forth. Did you ever take the dictionary, the old Hebrew dictionary, and see what the word seer means? It's the one that has the divine revelation of the written word. And how it's vindicated, he foresees things that he foretells and they come to pass. Now, how does that type within the Scripture just exactly? Well, if there be one among you who's spiritual or prophet, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him, speak to him in visions, and if these things come to pass, then it's God. And if they don't come to pass, then don't hear him, don't fear him at all, just ignore it. But God's word is always right. Therefore, that's how that they knew that the man that was speaking, whether he had the right revelation of the word or not, the divine word that's written is because he had the word of the Lord come to him. Now, we stay there. We place ourselves and our confidence upon this word. Okay. And from the rising of the sun, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And I give unto thee the keys. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth. That's that divine revelation of the word made flesh. If it was flesh in that day by the son, the groom, it's of flesh today by the bride. And from God of this evil age, he said, as she is part of the groom, true to him in every point, waiting for the wedding, uniting not at the ecumenical council, but in the sky, the wedding supper, she has been given, now this is for our own church, she has been given and revealed to her the seven sealed mysteries of the Bible. She sees the folly of the deceiver, so very close to the truth that almost deceived the elected, she sees it. She sees the two opposing spirits at work in this evil age. Can you see it? Each very religious, Cain and Abel spirits, again coming to their heads, still same as they started, one worshiping by beauty and by knowledge and by education and science and by ethics, and the other one by faith of the revelation of the Word of God. Both of them is standing right in this building this morning. That's right. And from what does it take to make a Christian life? He says, may you take me to record this morning, friends. There isn't enough power in all hell can even defeat the purpose of God. God will do it anyhow. You see, if God said it, it's got to happen. That's just it. From the invisible union of the bride, he said, you can't be virtuous to Christ, the Word of God, and serve a man-made denomination at the same time. It's contrary to the Word. Paul said here, where about? Romans 7. Neither can you bear sons of his Word to this illegitimate denominational group. You cannot do it. In your incubator, you cannot bring forth a Word Son of God. I'm speaking to the church, but still, you claim to be very religious. So was Cain, the prostitute Eve's son. Very religious, built altars and offered sacrifice and paid his tithes and done everything that any other religious man would do, but he failed to keep that word. He failed to have the revelation. And the revelation is the only thing, the revelation of the word. What is revelation? Well, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Faith is a revelation because faith has been revealed to you. Abel by faith, offered by revelation, faith, offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. And from the rapture, he said, Cain and Abel didn't have a Bible to read, but it was revealed to Abel by faith, which is a revelation. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified that he was righteous. When Jesus was asked here in Matthew 16, verse 17 and 18, we haven't time to read it, but if you want to write it down, he said, Who does man say that I, the Son of Man, am? One of them said, well, you're Moses or Elijah or someone. He said, but who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you. And upon this rock, the spiritual revelation of who God is, who Jesus is, and he is the revelation of God. God made in flesh and revealed to the world. He was in the world. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, revealing what God was in a body of flesh. In other words, Brother Graham's talking about the thing that the church is built upon is the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of God. He said, flesh and blood has never revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you, and upon this rock I'll build my church. The revelation of the word in its season, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. The book of Revelation is the last book of the Bible. It's sealed to unbelievers. You know, sometimes we listen to this true news, you know, at night, and these guys have no clue what the book of Revelation says. They're just totally off in la-la land someplace. And there the Bible says, the 22nd chapter, whosoever shall take one word from it or add one word to it, it'll take his part from the book of life. We realize that then it was altogether given for believers. And it opens the book of Revelation and reveals who the author of this entire book is. He's to look upon as Alpha and Omega from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus Christ is saying right straight through and reveals his complete mystery of himself and his plans for his church ages that's to come, and was sealed in there by seven seals. Now the book was written, but remember, it was sealed with seven seals, and these seven seals was not to be opened, Revelation 10, until the sounding of the last earthly angel on earth, Revelation 10 and 7. See? And in the days of the sounding of the last angel's message, seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished in that age. That's the age that we're living in. We all know that we're living in the Laodicean age. There will never be another age to it. It can't be. So we're living in the Laodicean age, and these seven seals that held that book is a mystery to the people, should be open at that day. That's what he promised. Now, it won't be nothing outside the word, because you can't add to the word or take from it. From the word, it's got to remain always the word. But the revelation is to reveal the truth of it, what it is, and to make it fit with the rest of the scripture, and then God vindicates that to be the truth. We're getting ready to close here. From Harvest Time, Brother Branham said, riches, Laodicea, great name, great person, rich, but dead and naked and don't know it. That's what the church age ended in. But she denies the word. To make Matthew 24:24 real to her, she tries to move in with a lot of noise and a lot of this and a lot of social standing and things like this, trying to say, well, we got the power, glory to God, hallelujah, we got the power, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, so close that it would deceive the very elected. How can a man dance in the Spirit and speak in tongues and deny the word of God being the truth and be the Holy Ghost? You just can't do it. Every word God says, every word. God says one thing, that's just exactly what he means. Don't interpret it no other way. The Bible says it's of no private interpretation. Say it the way he said it. Okay? And from identification. We are invited to shape our own character by his grace. We are invited, now think of it, to become characters like his. If we're ready to lay our character down and the molding that we had, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are trying to do right, having a form of godliness and denying the power of the word, how can God come into a place like that when they deny the word? When he watches over his word to vindicate it, to make it come to pass, and the word is pushed out, how can he identify himself with something like that? All I can say is go back to what he said here. The Bible says it's of no private interpretation. Just say it the way that he said it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord. We've seen many, many different applications of faith through the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And we see the power that's associated with revelation. And in every case, Lord, the things that were not seen actually became visible to the people. And they became manifested before them. And so, Father, we just ask you to help us, Lord, to recognize that the day we're living in is totally a waste as far as humanity is just going down the tube. It's just becoming more and more Sodom and Gomorrah every day. But, Father, we have a promise that you're going to take us out of here. And we're holding to that promise. For it is thus saith the Lord, according to your word and according to the interpretation by your vindicated prophet. In Jesus' name we pray. And we're holding to it. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and the Lord make his face shine upon thee.